We know that coming to Walt Disney World can be very overwhelming with all of the fast passes, the dining reservations, even getting from attraction to attraction can be extremely overwhelming. But we've got a friend that can help you make your next trip to Walt Disney World even more magical. It's Ramon and Theme Park Concierges. You can visit themeparkconcierges.com or call them at 407-257-9973. Ramon and his amazing team of VIP concierges will take care of you from the moment you arrive at the park until the moment you go back to your resort. They can take care of you for a 4-hour time slot or a full day. It all depends on what you need. They can take care of your dining reservations, your fast passes, and even make sure that you find even more magic hidden in the Disney parks. Well, contact our friends, themeparkconcierges.com, or call 407-257-9973 and tell them your friends over at the Disney Parks Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times. And get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast. And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
Greetings and welcome everybody to the Disney Parks Podcast. We have a very special guest, and if you're a Disney fan and you love Walt Disney as much as we do, the words Marceline and Missouri make you very excited. And today we have the executive director of the Walt Disney Museum from Marceline, Missouri. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kay Mallins. How are you?
I am great. And how are you guys this evening?
Phenomenal, yeah. Right now. I'm so excited to have you. We've been looking forward to this for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good.
We like to ask.
Well, we've been looking forward to it. Yeah, we love sharing our story. So
Excellent. We're
happy that we're talking tonight.
Great. We'd like to ask everybody how their Disney journey began. So, how did your Disney journey begin, Kay?
My Disney journey began when I was 8 years old and I first met Walt Disney, and he stayed in our house when he came back to Marceline. So Disney has just always been a part of my life.
Okay, let's go back just a tick. Please tell us about having Walt Disney stay in your house.
Well, in 1956, Walt and Roy came to Marceline. And their wives came to Marceline to dedicate the Walt Disney swimming pool and park. And everybody, of course, wanted to entertain him, so the entertaining was not a problem. Our hotel was kind of run down, and it didn't have air conditioning, and they were coming over the 4th of July, which in Missouri means hot and muggy.
Right.
So my folks had just built a new house that had air conditioning. And so one night at a city council meeting, they said to my dad, how about the Disney stay with you? And without asking my mother, my father said, sure.
sounds about right.
The Disney did indeed stay with us. And I was fairly precocious at 8. And so I looked at Walt Disney and said, what room are you going to sleep in? And he said, well, what room should I sleep in? I said, well, the pink one. So Walt and Lillian Disney stayed in my room.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yep, that was the beginning of my Disney education.
So was he like, I guess he would be like Uncle Walt phase at that point. Were you cognizant of who he was?
I was, except I really didn't get it because my folks entertained a lot. You know, there were a lot of people that came to our home, and it wasn't until the following summer when we went to California and, you know, went to the park, and Walt's taking us around the park, And I go, oh, that Walt Disney. You know?
Now I get it.
It was very cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I understand. So anyway, my education started very young.
Wow. And did I hear you say that he showed you around the park?
Oh, yeah. Every time we went there, we were with Walt. And we always headquartered out of the apartment. And for a long time, I thought that's what everybody did.
That's what everybody did,
but that's what we always did.
So what did you do this summer? Oh, we went to Disneyland. Did you stay in the apartment? What apartment?
We never spent the night in the apartment, but we kind of headquarter out of there during the day when we were in the park. It was... And I hadn't been back up in the apartment since Walt passed, and I was doing a series of little conversational story times with leads and cast members out there, and we were doing it up in the apartment, and this is several years ago. And like I said, I hadn't been up there since I'd been there with Walt. And the phone rang, and I wasn't going to open. I wasn't going to answer it. It was just too weird. And my son was with me. He goes, "You got to answer the phone." And I go, "I can't."
Yeah.
You know, I just can't do that. And all of a sudden, somebody comes over from City Hall, and they go, "We've been trying to call you."
It was
too emotional for me to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
So tell us about the journey from Walt stayed in my house, I visited the parks as a child, to how did you get to the Walt Disney Museum?
Well, most of my adult life, I've been a friend of Walt's little sister, Ruth, and I visited her quite often out on the West Coast. And on one of the visits, she said to me, "Tay, I want you to have my stuff." And I'm going, okay, I didn't give it a second thought.
Right.
And when she passed away, her only son, Ted, called me and said, "Okay, Mom wants you to have her stuff." And I said, "Well, what are we talking about?" And he goes, "Well, why don't you come out and see?" So this was before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And you could fly with an empty suitcase and nobody cared. So I flew out to Oregon with my empty suitcase, thinking there'd be enough stuff for an exhibit at City Hall. And they started taking things out of tops of closets and underneath beds. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, I am way over my head here.
Right.
So I came back to Missouri, and I got help from Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City. So we went out with cameras and scanners and set up shop on their dining room table in their house, and we documented 3,000 artifacts.
Wow.
So, I still didn't know what I was going to do, but Ruth had made me promise that she wanted the story of her family told in Marceline, because that was an important part of her life, as well as Walt's and Roy's. And she wanted that story told here.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're telling the story of the Disney family here in Marceline.
Yeah. So kind of give us an overview of what the museum is and what it's about. And then we have some questions that will kind of talk about some of the details. But
sure.
What's the general purpose of the museum?
We tell about Walt's early years. We tell about, him coming to Marceline and the influence that it had on him and what he did the rest of his life. As a matter of fact, Walt's daughter Diane said to me that until she was an adult, she thought her father had spent his entire childhood here because it's all he talked about.
Right.
And it's interesting to me how many references at Disney there are, of course, to Marceline and his time here. And it always makes me, when I walk down Main Street at Disneyland, it's like, oh my gosh, even after all these times I've been there, it's still like, I'm home. It's like coming home. A lot of change in Marceline since then, but you certainly know what Walt's intentions were when he built the park.
Right.
He wanted everybody to experience what he had as a boy. He made that decision for everybody that you had to walk down Main Street before you could make your own decision to go anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So he wanted everybody to have that small town experience.
So could you tell us how the museum came to be? Did you get help from the Disney family? Was it a grassroots effort? How did it actually come to?
It was a little bit of both. Several of the Disney grandchildren stepped up to help us, and some of them still are on a regular basis. It was a grassroots effort. It truly was. We held a celebration here in 2001, which was the 100th anniversary of Walt's birth. We had planned a celebration for 3 years. And again, that's when September the 11th happened.
Yeah.
Right.
10 days before our celebration. So we were going to cancel. And we started getting calls from all over the world saying, don't you let them stop you.
Right.
Right.
So we went ahead, and, you know, Mercy is a town of 2,233 people.
Wow.
And our goal was to have 50,000 people here. We ended up with 35,000 people from 17 countries and 47 states.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was like people were here celebrating everything that's right about America.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they were doing it to honor Walt. You know, here they were in this little town. So we found out people did want to come to Mercerine. And we had opened the museum for that occasion, and it was just going to be open for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 days during the celebration. And we opened pretty rough, you know. But we started hearing from people, and they go, we love it. We love your story. We want you to keep it open. So that was in 2001, and every year we've added to it. Every year we've done different things. And it's a really, really great museum. It's heartfelt. We tell the story, and it's in the town that Walt loved.
Yeah, yeah. So on the website, I was looking through all the stuff you guys have there, but tell us about the Disney collection and what that is.
Well, you mean which collection? we have several different collections here, but the main one we received was from Ruth, from Walt's sister.
Okay.
So that's the major Disney collection we have. And again, it was 3,000 artifacts.
Yeah.
So things kind of get rotated through the museum. We try to tell the story in different ways. And a lot of people didn't realize that there were two older brothers, Herbert and Raymond.
Right. Sure, sure.
People come to the museum and they go, I didn't know there was a Herbert and a Raymond. So, you know, we right. tell their story as well. And how close, you know, it still gets me, even though I spent 3 years actually and off and on, it's for over 3 years in Portland, Oregon area, going through all these artifacts, and they had me read all of Ruth's journals.
Wow.
And it was such a wonderful insight into the family and how extremely close they were. It really, truly was a celebration of family, and they were very, very close.
Yeah.
You know, they all ended up in California except for Ruth.
Mm.
And they were together all the time. And how they support each other through Walt and Roy's careers is absolutely amazing.
Wow. What are, like, some of the items that you have in the collection that, you know, get rotated through that might excite some of our listeners?
Well, my favorite things. Okay. Currently, my favorite things are... we have one of three records that was made of Walt interviewing his parents on their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And one of the very first things on there is Walt's mother, Flora, going, Walter, do you remember what you did on the side of the house in Marceline? And Walt responds, that wasn't me, that was Roy. And she goes, that was to you, Walter. So, you know, we have wonderful little snippets like that, and the whole record is really quite cool. We also have the Mickeys that Walt and Roy gave their parents on their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And the newspaper clippings of... Well, Walt and Roy told their parents that they would send them anywhere in the world they wanted to go for their anniversary. Well, they chose to come back to Marceline to visit their friends.
Wow.
So we had those newspaper clippings and, you know, the tailors who were their good friends when they were here in Marceline, had a reception for them, and, you know, list all the things that the they did for the Disney's parents when they were back here in Marceline. Also, there's a letter that Roy sent to Ted Beecher, who was his nephew. And every year they gave Ted some really lovely gifts for Christmas. But this one particular year, they gave him a camera, a movie camera, and a projection. And so Ted was saying, well, you know, you make a lot of cartoons, and so I sure would like to have some of them to show on my projector. So Roy sends him a letter saying, well, yes, I will send them to you, but you have to sign this contract and you have to pay this fee. So he was teaching him a business lesson.
Right.
But yeah. So there's these wonderful little pieces of the Disney story and how they work within the family. And he was just trying to teach him a lesson. And there's a follow-up letter that is, well, I'm returning the money to you, and you go out and take your mom out for a nice ice cream soda.
Wow.
So he was just, teaching Ted a letter. So there, we have lovely little things like that.
Yeah.
What are some of the other collections housed in the museum? You mentioned that first collection. What other collections do you have?
Well, we also have, we just started this a couple of years ago, and it's What Collectors Collect. For years, we had collectors, Disney collectors, wanted to showcase their things in the museum, but it didn't fit in our story, and we're very careful about keeping the museum to our story.
Sure.
But we thought, gosh, this stuff is so cool, and people want to see it. So now we have a gallery that is What Collectors Collect, and it changes every 2 years. And it's just some really unique, cool things in there.
I'm assuming they're Disney.
Again,
Disney
changes every year. And we have people, actually, they're from collectors all over the United States.
Wow.
We have some pieces, yeah. So that's...
And I'm assuming they're Disney items, right?
Go ahead.
I'm assuming they're Disney items.
Oh, yes, they're all Disney. Of course they're Disney items. Yeah, they are. One of them was there, and it's not called a tricycle, but that's what it is. It was anyway, and it's there are only 100 of them made. It's a Mickey Mouse one.
Oh wow!
And they were made in the 30s. It's so cool. It's just everybody falls in love with it.
Right.
So we have some very new things and that we showcase in there as well.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And then we also have our Marceline collection, which all Walt's visits back to Marceline were very well documented. So we have the first gallery is the Marceline Gallery, and a lot of that is showed in that particular gallery.
Right.
So let me ask this question. For people who've never been to Marceline, and we know that Walt loved it so much, what is it about Walt Marceline that makes it so special? And what made it special to Walt, do you think?
Well, I grew up here, so of course I think it's special. People often ask me that about what made this so special to Walt. And I think it was, this is the only time of his life he got to be a kid. After he left Marceline, he went to work. And he never had that sense of community again. He caught his first fish here. He went swimming here for the first time. He went sleigh riding for the first time. He attended his first school, saw his first parade.
Wow.
And, you know, all those childhood firsts are an important part of anybody's life.
Yeah.
And we still have, you know, of course, everyone is aging, but, you know, when Walt came back in 56, all his buddies were still here that were the neighbors.
Right.
So he got, you know, he just had this touch. Marceline was his touchstone. We were the real part of his life.
What other things in Marceline? I was reading that there's a Disney farm, and
there is
something else, a Walt's Barn, I think it was.
It is. That's a Disney farm here in Marceline. It's the original 40 acres that Elias had. The home is a private residence.
Wow.
But we let people go on the farm. And you get to walk past the Son of Dreaming Tree, the Dreaming Tree where it fell. And you know the story of Walt's Dreaming Tree. It's where he very first started to draw.
And every
trip he made to Marceline, he had to go down to his pictures, to his Dreaming Tree where he very first started to draw. And his sister Ruth said that, you know, they would go down to the tree and Walt would draw her a picture and he'd make up a right good story to go along with it.
Of course.
So, yeah, so it was a special place for them. The tree got struck by lightning a few years ago. But luckily, Serendipity stepped in, and a few years before that, American Forest Historic Tree Nursery came and collected 1.5 million seeds off that tree. And so they grew as a sapling, and one of Walt's grandsons and 3 Walt Disney World ambassadors came up and planted the Son of Dreaming Tree very close to the original.
Wow.
That's great.
And it's about, it's about 40 feet tall now.
Wow.
So then Walt had his first foray to show business, you know, here in Marceline in the Disney barn.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He dressed some baby animals in baby clothes and charged neighborhood kids to come in and see it, and his mother made him give the money back. Well, the barn was rebuilt in 2001 from the original blueprints of the barn, and people can actually go in the barn here in Marceline on the farm, and if you go inside the barn, there are thousands of messages to Walt all over the inside of the barn. And how that got started, in 2001, there was a beam at Disneyland for guests to sign.
Right.
And then the Disney company shipped it back here to be installed in our barn. Our guests saw it, and they all wanted to leave their own message.
Mm.
And it is so sweet. It's like, Walt's there. Okay. I mean, it's like, dear Walt, you have no idea what your show on Sunday night meant to my family.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a very special place for people to come.
Yeah. Right. Is this the same barn that is in California by the railroad?
Actually, the barn in Marceline was recreated by Walt on his estate.
Okay.
In California, at the Carrollwood Estate, and then they moved it to Griffith Park.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a barn from Walt's estate, but it was from the blueprints from the original barn in Marceline.
Right. I've been in the barn in Griffith Park, so.
Wow.
And that was pretty crazy to be in there, too.
So
it is very cool.
So visiting Marceline is truly like a Walt Disney pilgrimage to not just see
it
the
is.
Museum, but to see, you know, where his formative childhood years are.
Okay.
I've read both of the major Walt Disney books, and you start rattling off some of the stories, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that, and I remember the impact that the author was talking that had on Walt, and I'm like, you live there. So Marceline sounds like, if you're a Walt Disney fan, I mean, you literally have sold me on, I've got to make a trip to Marceline.
Yeah.
Definitely during the summer, though, when it's not so hot but not cold. But I definitely want to go to Marceline to see all these amazing things, especially not the least of which is the museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really can't know Walt unless you've been to Marceline.
Wow.
It's and people that have been here tell us that over and over and over. You know, there's just little subtle things like we were talking about before. The center of our town is E.T. Ripley Park. And what was the first train to go around Disneyland? What did Walt ride in on the first day?
E.T. Ripley.
Yep.
E.P. Ripley.
Wow.
So there's just, you know, we have the only federal building in the United States named after Walt Disney. Our post office is the Walt Disney Post Office.
Really?
Wow. So,
Do you have a postmark?
We do. And it's a cancellation. You can only get in Marceline.
Wow.
Oh, now I want to go do that.
Now we're going to send you a letter, okay? Make you send it back to us.
Does the museum put on special events like, does D23 come there? Are there other major, you know, Disney clubs? Or do you guys put on special, you know, like the event that you had in 2001? Do you guys do a series of those kind of things that would be fun for people to come plan a trip to see?
We actually have a speaker series. Our next speaker is Jim Fanning. He's coming in. That's May 5th.
Nice.
He's a noted Disney historian and author. He's coming in. He's speaking on May the 5th. We have May on the May 25th. D23 is coming to Marceline.
Really?
Yeah. They are bringing a tour here, and it's going to be so cool. It's going to be so much fun. Mm. And the tickets for this particular event sold out in 60 seconds.
Wow.
It's not hard to believe.
I think that was a record maybe for ticket sales. But anyway, so they're all coming on May 25th. The next museum gala we're having is going to be this August here in Marceline. And announcement about it is coming out soon with a date, and it's going to be absolutely awesome. Every year we have done a Toon Fest, which is a cartooning festival we hold the third Saturday in September annually. And this will be our 20th year.
Wow.
So we encourage everybody to come to that. And for the very first time ever, we are going to be open year-round. Until 2018, this year, we have been seasonal. We've been open from April 1 to October 31, and now we open this year in March, and we are never closing again except on some holidays. So you can come any time of the year and see us. So Christmas at the museum is going to be pretty special this year because it's our first one.
Oh, my God.
So, so if you want to do a really unique holiday thing, come to Marceline.
Both Tony and I, our eyebrows and our eyes are as big as biscuits right now. I wish we had video of this. We are literally sitting here like six-year-olds like, oh, can we go? Can we go to that?
That's so funny. Yes, you can. You can come to Marceline.
We would absolutely love that.
Wow. So, Kay, how can people, if they want to support the museum, volunteer money, any way they can. What can people do to help you out?
Well, tell a friend on Facebook to start with, and then you can keep up with all the great things that are happening here in Marceline and at the station and at the museum. We you can become a member, and you can get on our website, which is waltdisneymuseum.org. We would love to have members. You can buy a brick. And the bricks are outside of the museum. And our museum is in a 1913 Santa Fe station.
Wow.
And it's a station that Walt came into many, many times when he came to Marceline on the train. So we thought, what a better place to have it. And it's a lovely historic building. So your brick would be interspersed with bricks that have been there since 1913, bricks that Walt Disney actually probably walked on.
Wow.
So your brick would be there. And if anybody just wants, and of course we're going to be having a gala again in August, and so there'll be all kinds of fun things to do for that. And we just want you to come. We want everybody to come. And see why this town was so special to Walt.
Right. So outside of the Facebook page, where are other places people can find you online?
DisneyMuseum.org is our website.
Right.
Oh, great.
Excellent. I have to tell you this story. My wife and I have only been to Disneyland 3 times. And the first time we went, it was one of those, we shoehorned it into a trip that we were doing for business, and we literally opened and closed the park. We were exhausted. But the very first thing we did was, once we got through the turnstiles, we walked underneath the railroad and made a beeline to Walt's apartment. And I didn't know this was going to happen for her, my wife, but we literally went there and we both put our hands on the brick wall and both of us started tearing up because we were so happy to actually be in the place that Walt walked. You know, he walked these streets. He stayed in this apartment. He might have sat at that bench. And that's the kind of connection I think a lot of Disney fans have with Walt Disney. So I cannot even imagine what it would be like to walk down the middle of, well, it's probably not legal to walk down the middle of Main Street, but to be able to walk the streets, to be able to be in the train station, to be able to see the farm, to be able to walk around the museum and see things that Walt touched, and to be able to meet, you know, I've been honored to meet people who have met Walt. But to be able to meet you and people who knew Walt when he was younger or knew him when he visited, I mean, it's just such an incredible special opportunity for Disney fans that, you know, as we all get older, we get further and further away from Walt Disney. And I can't thank you enough for what you guys are doing. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I can't wait to one day meet you in person.
Well, I hope you can. And I want to thank you boys for asking me and inviting me to speak. And actually, where I'm speaking to you from right now is from the Disney home in Marceline. So I think Walt's spirit is probably here with us right now, saying that, you know, thanks. And thanks for keeping my memory alive. So you guys got to come to Marceline so you can experience firsthand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're going to have to do it.
We have to. And we encourage all of our listeners to do it. Like Christmas. I mean, I think Christmas is the gala. The gala sounds amazing, but I think Christmas might be the time. So if you're out there listening, visit the Facebook page, visit, you know, WaltDisneyMuseum.org, sign up, and you've got to get out there. If you love Walt Disney, this has to be a high bucket list item for you.
Yeah.
So, Kay, thank you so much. We're honored
and
a privilege to have spoken to you tonight. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, and I hope I see you in Marceline soon.
Absolutely. Right. And with that, is there anything else, buddy?
Nope, that's it. And we'd like to say,
see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon the star, you're